Preaching one of my favorite psalms that I heard many times as a child growing up. My dad, I can't wait to preach this message in Spanish. My dad used to pull out his acoustic guitar and he would sing Psalms 121 and then he would preach on it. And I heard it many times, but this morning we pray that this word may be a blessing to you. And if you find yourself in a difficult situation or in desperate need of help, I have a word of hope, I have a word of encouragement, and I've come to proclaim the good news that help is on the way. I said that help is on the way. Help is on the way. So with that said, the title of today's message is God, My Help. God, My Help. Psalms 121. I'm going to be reading off a New International Version this morning. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated this morning. This psalm is an interesting psalm because it falls under a specific category known as the Psalms of Ascent. And only 10% of the psalms are categorized as Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 120 through Psalms 134 gives us the 15 psalms of ascent. The King James Bible describes them as songs of degrees. Other translations use as a heading the Psalms of the Pilgrims. Why so? Because these psalms belong to a specific hymn book known as the Pilgrims' Hymnal. And these psalms were sung during the time of the festivals. The Bible tells us that God gave an order to his people to meet with him three times a year, to celebrate a feast unto him three times a year. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 tells us the specific instructions that God gives to his people. They were to meet with the Lord in the springtime. They were to meet with the Lord in the summer and also in the fall. In the springtime, they were to meet with the Lord for the Passover. And as they climbed up to the holy mountain and the holy city of Jerusalem, they would sing these psalms. In the summer, they would go up for Pentecost to Jerusalem. And in the fall, they would go and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And as they would go to Jerusalem, they had to travel up to the mountain on which this beautiful holy city of Jerusalem is situated. Therefore, that gives us a better context to be able to understand and interpret this psalm. The psalmist asks a question. He says, I look to the hills, I place my eyes on the mountains. Where does my help come from? So I would like to break down this psalm for you if you like to take down notes. I would like to dissect this psalm so that we can understand it better. This psalm is composed in three parts, or it is divided in three parts. First, it is divided by asking a question. This psalm asks a question, verse 1, where does my help come from? Then it gives the answer, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker, the creator of heaven and earth. And then the rest of the psalm is awesome. The rest of the psalm gives us seven promises from God. A question, an answer, and then seven promises that are found in this beautiful psalm. We see in verse 3, promise number 1, he says, he will not let your foot slip. Promise number 2 is found in verse 3 and 5, he will watch over you. Promise number 3, verse 5, he will be your shade at your right hand. Verse 6, promise number 4, he will protect you from the harm of the sun. Promise number 5, the moon shall neither harm you by night. Promise number 6, the Lord will keep you from all harm and watch over your life. Verse 7. Promise number 7, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Verse 8. So let us dissect this psalm and let us learn what God has for us this morning. I don't know what your situation might be this morning. You might find yourself in a particular situation in your life where you are in desperate need of God's help. You are facing a critical season of your life. Or maybe you find yourself facing a trial, a storm, a mountain, something challenging, and you're asking yourself throughout this season, who is going to help me? Where is my hope? Where is my help? I have a word of encouragement for you this morning. And we pray that this word may bless your soul, and that by trusting in him, you might find the help and hope that you desperately need. Let us look to verse 1 as we go through this beautiful psalm. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? For those that have had the opportunity to travel to Jerusalem, and your pastor has had that opportunity to go and visit the beautiful city of Jerusalem, it doesn't matter where you go in Israel, at what point, whether it be from the north, from the south, from the east, or west, you always have to climb up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is situated on Mount Zion. It is up on a mountain. And if you look at the geography of Jerusalem, it is 2,800 feet above sea level. So the pilgrims and the people of God that were traveling during these festive times, they would sing these psalms to give them encouragement. And I want us to look at this verse of scripture carefully, because many have misinterpreted this verse 1 by thinking that their help comes from the mountains. Their help comes from the hills. And I've seen some beautiful paintings, and people have even shared, you know, as they see these beautiful paintings of the mountains and this verse of scripture, lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Thinking that help comes from nature. Help comes from the mountains. And I want you to understand this morning that the mountains are not the source of hope, but they are the problem. They are the challenge that the pilgrim is facing as he is traveling on this journey to meet God. The problem is found in the mountains. And you see that through all of Scripture. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there. Mountains represent obstacles, challenges, difficulties, storms in your life, impossibilities. And as the pilgrims traveled to Jerusalem, they looked up to the mountain. And who is going to give us the strength to make it through this journey? Who is going to help me climb up that mountain? Who is going to help me conquer the mountain? Who? Where does my help come from? You see, in the mountains, there were caves, and the pilgrims faced the challenge of facing bandits and robbers. And we see that in one of the parables that Jesus tells his disciples about the Good Samaritan coming down from the mountain of Jerusalem. He was attacked by bandits and robbers, and they almost killed him. They assaulted him, and they beat him up and took all his belongings. And you know, bandits were hiding in the caves, and who knows what was beyond their reach. And they were not aware of the things that were perhaps in the mountains. whether that be bandits and robbers or lions and bears, because they are common animals in Jerusalem. So the traveler would look at the mountain and he was worried. See, the mountain was a source of worry. And perhaps this morning you are looking at your mountain. And perhaps your mountain is a financial situation, maybe an addiction, maybe a relationship problem, or maybe a spiritual problem, an emotional problem. And you're looking at that mountain and it is the source of your worry. And you ask your question, where does my help come from? Who is going to help me in this situation? You see, we are also pilgrims. The Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. We don't belong to this earth. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are also traveling up to a mountain. We are also on our way to a heavenly city. And during this journey, we will face mountains. Jesus himself said in John chapter 16, verse 30, you shall face problems and difficulties in this world, but have courage. I have overcome the world. Mountains are part of this journey. Problems are part of this journey. And the psalmist asked the question, where does my help come from? So that's the question. And then the answer comes at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is a powerful confession. A powerful confession that you and I need to utilize and use when facing a difficult situation in our life. This is a powerful confession that you and I need to use in our prayers when facing those storms and mountains and difficulties and life challenges that come our way while traveling to that heavenly city. We need to make the confession. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist here is recognizing that there is a greater power that can help him climb that mountain. That there is a greater power that can help him with the strength that he needs during this journey so that he can make it up to the mountain. And he recognizes that there is a greater power that is bigger than any mountain or circumstance or giant that is available at his disposal, to help him and to give him the hope he needs to make it through the journey. That help comes from the Almighty God, from the Creator of heaven and earth. And I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a God that is bigger than your mountain. I said that there is a God that is bigger than your mountain. He is the creator of heaven and earth. The Bible tells us that he is so powerful, that the Lord is so powerful, that he created the world with the power of his word, and that he sustains the world with the power of his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 tells us that by his Son, through whom also he created the world, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the power of his word. Think about that. God is so powerful that not only did he create the universe, the world, and everything that exists through the power of his word, but he sustains it. He maintains it through the power of his word. Amen. You know that it is calculated that there is enough energy in the sun, enough hydrogen to burn and keep the sun going for another 5 billion years. Look it up. Google it. Think about that for a moment. People are afraid what is going to happen to this world. What if the sun one day decides, I'm not going to burn anymore, and I'm not no longer going to give any sunlight? The Bible tells us that we ought not to worry, for he sustains the universe, and the sun continues to burn because God has decreed it and declared it through the power of his word. And if he is able to do that, he is able to fix and help you in any situation or circumstance that you might be facing right now. God is bigger than your mountain. God is bigger than your circumstance. I want you to tell your neighbor, neighbor, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is bigger and greater than your mountain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Psalms 124, we hear the similar words of the psalmist in this other psalm of accent. In Psalms 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If he was able to make heaven and earth and everything that exists, he is able to help you in any situation you might be facing right now during this life and in this journey as we travel up to the heavenly city, as we climb up and place our eyes on Jesus. Don't put your eyes on the mountains. Put your eyes on God. God is greater than your mountain, and he's able to help you, and he wants to help you. I want you to notice that not only is God the strength that we need to continue in this journey, climbing that mountain, but he also tells us that he is our guard, our protector, and he watches over us. Look what verse 3 and 4 says. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I want you to notice that the word watch and keep. In the King James, it uses the word keep 7 times, which is translated in this translation, watch, which means to protect, means to guard. He watches over us, and it is mentioned in these next verses of scriptures 6 times. The writer of this psalm, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wants us to get the point, and he's driving home the point that God is watching you. God is guarding you. God is keeping you. And he's repeating that over and over. He is constantly watching you. You know, sometimes we might face circumstances so difficult that we feel that God has forgotten about us, that God has fallen asleep, that God has forgotten his promise, and he's no longer looking at our situation. The Bible tells us that his watch and his care is a constant watch. He doesn't daydream. He doesn't fall asleep. He's always on guard, always watching, always protecting. His care and watch over us is constant. The Lord's watch and guard over his children is without interruption. It says that he doesn't slumber nor sleep. And I thought about that for a moment on how many people have been involved in tragic accidents because the people that were supposed to be watching over their lives, whether that be a bus driver that fell asleep at the wheel, or a pilot that fell asleep, or a train conductor that fell asleep, while taking care of those people, the passengers' lives. And we see these tragedies over and over again and again. People that are distracted and people that fall asleep and a tragedy occurs. I'm here to tell you that the God that you and I serve will never fall asleep, for sleep is for the weak. He does not need to go to sleep. He is always awake. He is always strong. He is never weary. He never gets exhausted. He is the author of life. He is the source of life, and he is the source of our strength. And the Bible tells us that he will not fall asleep, and he watches over you and I. Now, the Lord recognizes that for the human, it is easily to fall asleep. But not only it's easy to fall asleep, but it's also easy to slip. It says he will not let your foot slip. How many of you have ever slip somewhere? You know, we're never prepared to slip and fall on our faces. It catches us off guard. It catches us by surprise. I was sharing with someone recently, as I was years ago, as I was traveling back and forth to Oklahoma, working on my master's degree, I remember one winter that I, after preaching a sermon, I got on the airplane and arrived in Oklahoma, and there was snow and ice everywhere. And as I was going to church on Sunday night, because I wanted to make it to church on Sunday night before I commenced my week in the studies, I was walking to Victory Church, and there was a patch of ice. I could not see it, and I slipped, and my pants tore, and I went with torn pants to church, and I wasn't expecting it. It caught me off guard. And I want you to picture in your mind, and let's look at the imagery behind this psalm, and picture in your mind the loving care and protection of a father. And I don't know about you, but you have children that are learning how to walk, and as they're traveling with us, we make sure that we remove any obstacle or anything that will cause them to slip and stumble. And I'm here to tell you that the only reason we have not slipped is not because we've been smart, or not because we are wise, or not because we are strong. The only reason you have not slipped is because God has been watching over you. God has been protecting you. God has been caring over you constantly. His care and His protection is a 24/7 protection. And I thank the Lord. And I give Him all the praise and glory that He's watching us during this journey. In verse 5, it says that the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. This word, the Lord is your shade at your right hand, has a twofold meaning. First of all, it is a military term. It is a military term that the psalmist, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote down in this psalm to drive home a point. You know, in ancient days, the soldier would carry a shield on his left hand. Didn't matter if he was right-handed or left-handed, shields were carried and utilized by the left hand. That meant that the sword was on the right hand and that the right side was unprotected. So I want you to picture that in your mind. And what God is saying to us in this psalm is that His protection is an all-around protection. The weakest point in the soldier was his right side. He could not guard himself with a shield from a flaming arrow or from a stone that came his way. But God is saying to us in this psalm that He got us at our weak point. I will protect you in the weakest moments, in the weakest points of your life. You see, sometimes we think that we are strong in a certain situation, but in reality, we are weak. And it is not our strength, it is not our savvy, our intelligence, our wisdom that keeps us guarded and protected. It is God who is watching over us, and He is a shade of protection at our right hand. In those weak areas of our lives, God is there protecting us. You see, shade is speaking of God's protective presence. God's protective presence. God is there to protect you in those weak areas in your life. And God knows where you and I are most vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And this psalm gives us encouragement as we look unto God that He will protect us in those weak moments of our lives. And when we think we are slipping, we think we are falling, God is there to constantly care for us. He is an all-around protection. In verse 6, is an interesting verse because he speaks about protection over the elements. He says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Yeah, anybody that has traveled in the Middle East knows that the sun can be very brutal. And people die of heat stroke and sunstroke. As they traveled up to the holy city and climbed up that mountain, there were no rest areas or buckies where people could stop and, just kick back for a little bit, catch a fresh breath air and some, pistachios and a Big Red. There was no such thing as that. If you were not prepared for this journey, you could die of heat stroke. God is saying to the traveler, he's saying to you and I, that on this journey of faith, as we climb to that holy city, he will protect us from the elements. He will protect us from the sun doing damage to our bodies. Yesterday, I got an alert on my phone, and maybe perhaps you did as well, that, you know, we entered triple-digit weather in San Antonio. And it gave an advisory, drink plenty of water, keep out of the sun, and do this and that. You know, I'm here to tell you that there is a divine sunscreen that God has applied to you and I, that as we face the elements during this journey, his divine sunscreen will protect us. You see, people do many things to protect themselves from the sun. They wear long sleeves. They make sure that they buy, you know, sunscreen lotion, because they know that cancer can be a byproduct of too much sun exposure. And God knows that there are cancers that the elements can produce in our lives. But he says, don't worry about that, because I'm going to take care of that situation. I'm going to apply to your life some divine sunscreen. But now we go to the moon. That doesn't make sense. But on further study, the moon was put in this psalm because in that day, people were very superstitious. People in that day believed that you could become moonstruck and become crazy by too much moon exposure. Hence, we get the word lunatic, from lunar. He's Looney Tune. Lunacy. There, it comes from there. That's the history. So God is saying to us in verse 6, I will take care of you on this journey by day, and I will take care of you on this journey by night. I'm going to take care of your body, but I'm also going to take care of your mind. You see, as we climb this mountain, God is going to give us the strength in our body so that we can make it to the top. And he's going to also not allow us to go crazy when we face the mountains and giants. God is going to take care not only of your body, he's going to take care of your mind so that you can continue climbing this mountain that he has called us to, this heavenly city. He's going to take care of us. Now, how do we apply this divine sunscreen? Well, we apply it when we read the word. There's protection in the word. We apply it when we walk by faith and not by sight. We apply this divine sunscreen when we call to him in prayer, when we come to him in prayer. We apply this divine sunscreen as we come to him in worship and thanksgiving. God's protection will be over us. So this is something that we need to apply. Just as you apply that sunscreen, you need to apply it. Your life, say, Lord, I cover myself with your presence in prayer and through your word. You are my shield. You will protect me from the elements, from the sun and the moon. In verse 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Now we need to carefully read this text, because we can easily misinterpret what the psalmist is saying. It says that the Lord will watch over your coming and going. The Lord will keep you from all harm. Does this mean that as a Christian, I will never face any harm? Does this mean that as a Christian, I will never have any problems or pain? Absolutely not. What the psalmist is saying is that no matter what we face, no matter what evil comes your way, what the devil has meant for evil, God can turn it around for the good. You see, we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. So no matter what comes your way, or what harm is in front of you, no matter what situation you might be facing, you might be asking, why has this happened? Why has God allowed this to occur in my life? There is a divine purpose. Amen. And that purpose to you might not be clear right now. God might be testing your faith. God might be developing character and maturity in you so that you can understand, after you receive your blessing and miracle, that your help and that your breakthrough and that your blessing came from God and God alone. There is a purpose behind your pain. There is a purpose behind that situation. If God has called you and elected you and predestined you and you love God, there is purpose in every step that we take. So it does not promise that, oh, we're never going to go through anything. No, what it's saying that no matter what we go through, God will work it out for the good. And it's not going to ultimately cause harm in our life. Now, as we conclude the text, in verse 8, it says that He will watch over us, our coming and going, both now and forevermore. You see, the pilgrims would come and go as they would go to these festivals to worship God and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost. They would climb up the mountain, then they would go to the mountain, and then they would come back home. And year after year. And the God is saying, no matter where you go, where this life's journey takes you, as you follow the Lord, as you trust in Him, as you obey God, you're coming and going, I will be there watching over you, protecting you. It says both now and forevermore. Now this last word is interesting because God's help and God's guard over us extends this life. He helps us after death. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall not die. He will still be watching over us after we die. There's nothing that can separate us from God's love. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will guard us and protect us both now and forevermore. I don't know who this word was for this morning, but I believe that there are people here that are facing pain, trouble, and mountains right now. I don't know what your mountain is. And you might be facing that mountain, asking yourself the same question the psalmist asked himself as he was worried because of the mountain. Where does my help come from? He asked the question, where does my help come from? Perhaps your mountain is a spiritual mountain. You lack faith. You're full of fear, doubt, anxiety, and confusion. Perhaps your mountain is an emotional mountain. Perhaps you're full of depression, stress, despair, hopelessness. Perhaps the mountain you're facing today is a financial mountain. You need a job. You're in debt. You're in need of a house. Perhaps your mountain is a relational mountain, a family issue, marriage problems. I don't know what your mountain is, but I'm here to tell you that God wants you to know that He's there to help you along this journey. Amen. That no matter what mountain you face, you can call on the name of the Lord and He can help you and He can give you the strength so that you can continue to climb that mountain. And this message is so simple because mountains are opportunities for God to display and demonstrate His power. And this message is so simple because there's only one step of application. You need help? Look to the Lord. Don't look at your mountain. No matter how big or how intimidating the mountain might be, God is bigger than that mountain. Look to the Lord for guidance. Do you need help? Look to the Lord. Call to the Lord. Come to the Lord for wisdom and strength. Look to Him. Don't look at the mountain. Place your eyes on Jesus. You see, the psalmist first starts looking at the mountain. I look, lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Who's going to help me in this situation? But then he looks at the Creator, the one that is greater and bigger and more majestic and more awesome and powerful than that mountain. He says, There is the source of my help. It is the creator, the maker of heaven and earth that will help me climb this mountain. Praise God. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He will not let your foot slip. Think about that. One of the scariest moments in a mountain climber is when his or her foot slips. Have you seen those mountain climbers that with no restraints and they're doing it barehanded and barefooted and they're climbing this mountain? How do they do that? Have you seen them on these videos all over YouTube that are sensational videos and they're hanging and you've seen them slip and you're like, wow, I don't know if I could do that. And as you're climbing this mountain, there might be times that your foot slips, but you're not going to fall down. You might be pressed down, but you're not going to be defeated. God has a plan, has a purpose for your life. Keep climbing the mountain. He is there with you day and night, 24/7. He is your shade at your right hand. He got you at your weakest point. He will keep you from all harm and from all evil, both now and forevermore. You see, God is a God who loves to help hurting people. And the news that I have for you, Bethel, this morning is that help is on the way if you call God for help. You see it all in the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, that God is a God who loves to help people. Let's look at some of these examples. God helped Noah build the ark when everyone made fun of him. God helped Sarah after being sterile conceive a baby. God helped Joseph resist temptation and sin when Potiphar's wife came and attacked him. God helped Moses deliver God's people from slavery. God helped Joshua conquer 31 kings in the land of Canaan. God helped Gideon conquer the enemies of Israel with just 300 men. God helped Samson defeat the enemies of God. God helped Ruth and Naomi maintain the line of the Messiah. God helped David defeat the giant. God helped Solomon with wisdom. God helped Nehemiah rebuild the walls. God helped Esther protect the nation of Israel. God helped Job in his trial and in his problems. God helped Daniel in the lion's den. God helped the disciples overcome fear and doubt. God helped the Apostle Paul spread the message to the uttermost part of the world. And God helped the Apostle John when he found himself in the island of Patmos write the most awesome book, the book of Revelation. God helped the lame. God helped the lepers. God helped the sick. God helped the hungry. God helped the blind, and he helps the sinner, finds the way, the truth, and the life of salvation. God loves to help people. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Do you need help? I have good news for you people. I have good news. Help is on its way. No matter what you're facing, no matter how big your mountain is, God is greater and bigger and more powerful than any mountain you and I will ever face in this journey. Another verse of scripture, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. And how do you get that help? Call on Him. We're going to open up the altars in a few moments for those that are in desperate need of help. You see, some people never find help because they're too proud to recognize that they need help. And their pride gets in their way from their breakthrough and miracle. And you're saying, oh, I'm okay. My marriage is okay. My spiritual life is okay. I'm going to make it. But you're not going to make it unless God is there to help you. We cannot survive without the protection and strength that comes from the Lord. And He's there to help you if you call on His name. Some of you need desperate help right now. And all you need to do is call on His name. Psalms 34, verse 17, the Lord hears His people when they call Him for help. The Lord hears His people when they call Him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. You just need to say, God, help. If you don't know what to pray, well, I've already prayed every prayer. I already recited every scripture and memorized every prayer. And you don't know what to say or pray. And maybe you've been praying about a particular situation for many years. All you need to do is say, Lord, help me. Help me. Some of you need help in your marriage, in your finances, in your family. Some of you need help finding a job. Some of you need help. You need a house, a car. Some of you need help finding a husband or a wife. Some of you need help in guidance and counsel. Some of you need help breaking a bad habit. Some of you need help emotionally breaking depression and oppression, or physical help. You need God to heal you of any disease or sickness. Some of you need legal help. Call on the name of the Lord. No matter what help you need, no matter how big your mountain is, call on the one who is the creator of heaven and earth. The altar is open. I want to encourage you, as you come to this altar, that you too, like the psalmist, make this powerful confession over your life. My hope comes from the Lord. As you come to this altar and you call on the name of the Lord, just say, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Stop looking at your mountain. Don't put your eyes on the hills, on the mountains, on the storm. Put your eyes on the Creator. Put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on the one who sustains the universe through the power of His Word. Put your eyes on God. He is greater than that situation, that circumstance, that difficulty, that problem, that pain that you are experiencing. God is available to help you if you humble yourself and cry out to Him for help. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will answer, says the Lord, and I will hear their land. I will bless their land. I will help them. God wants to help you. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone, sister. You are not alone, brother. Wife, husband, you are not alone. Parents, you are not alone raising your children. You are not alone. There is a God who watches over you. There is a God who loves you. There is a God who notices your trials and circumstances and your pain. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the Creator of heaven and earth. There is hope, and all you need to do is have faith. Say the confession of faith. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. God will bless me. God will heal me. God will strengthen me. My help comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.